So that we understand a little bit of where Paul is at this moment that he's writing this letter to the Philippians, let's take a little journey to Rome, because that's where he has gone. He's in prison at this time, and he is suffering for Christ because he's been put in prison because he chooses to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So Paul is in prison this time anticipating his death. And in that anticipation of his dying, he's writing to these people who he has cared for, who he nurtured, who he grew into a church. And he's telling them of that struggle. And I don't know if anyone has had that particular struggle of being so in love with Christ that all you want to do is be with him. And if your time is coming near, or you think your time is coming near, you're longing for that home going. But Paul's also recognizing maybe homegoing isn't what has to happen right now. Maybe what has to happen right now is I need to continue in this struggle, continue where I am so that others can continue in their struggle of the faith. So when he speaks to them about their persecution, that's what's going on in Philippi at this time as well, that they are at a crossroads. They are on a major byway, highway that allows them to be Roman citizens. And it still is not popular to be a Christian. So they are suffering for their proclamation of Jesus Christ. So he says these words to them, "Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." He's asking them not to deny their faith for the sake of their own lives. And I want us to think again about who is writing this letter, because we talked about it in confirmation. It's Paul. But who was Paul? Paul, at one time, was Saul. Saul, who was a Pharisee. Saul, who was persecuting and sentencing Christians to death. Saul, who had to meet a man by the name of Ananias. Now, can you imagine being Ananias? You know who Saul is. You know what he's done. And the Lord says to you, would you go see Saul? He's blind. But you need to bring sight to his eyes so that they can be open and he knows who he is as a child of God. Now, if you were Ananias, would you be jumping up and down for this assignment? Oh, pick me, I want to go. Because the potential, as far as Ananias knew, it could be his death. But he went. He went. And we know what happens. The scales fall from Saul's eyes. He becomes Paul, and he becomes the great pioneer of our faith, that he goes and proclaims the gospel message out into the world. This same Paul who is now sitting in a prison, facing his own death for that proclamation. And he says to the people he's writing to, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And I was thinking, what do you think that looks like? What does it take to live a life in the manner that is worthy of the gospel? Is it going to church every Sunday? Is it being in Sunday school every Sunday? Is it being in the church every time the church doors are open? Or is it living a life so that when people see you, they see Christ? Is it proclaiming the message of love and peace and hope and unity throughout every moment of your life because you are living that in every moment of your life? So is it what we do? Is it what we say? Is it who we are? Is it standing for the gospel of Christ when it could mean our death? And I thought, as I was studying and thinking on this Sunday's message, we're not too far away from the people of Philippi, or we're not too far away from Paul sitting in a prison in Rome, because we have threats all over the world. We have Christians being beheaded. We have terror spreading its wings like a raven across the world, so that If you were to stand in certain places and proclaim Jesus Christ as your Savior, it would mean your death. Are there places you would not go and proclaim that message? Are we living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The mission statement of the United Methodist Church is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That means proclaiming Christ everywhere to everyone. If we are not in the business of sharing the salvation story of Christ with everyone we meet, then we are missing the mission statement and not living a life worthy of the gospel. Someone recently said, "Are we a church that has become apathetic? Are we a church that has become complacent? Are we a church that has become comfortable in being church?" Living a life worthy of the gospel of Christ is not complacency. It is not, and I can't even remember that A word, apathetic. It is a church that believes that the way the world is transformed is through the message of Christ, the message of hope and love and peace, and extending our hand to people who may cut it off even as we extend it. The world can't be changed if we choose not to let the world in. The world can't be changed if we choose not to go to unsafe places, not only in the world, but in our own community. The world can't be changed if we see our neighbor as a threat and not as a potential brother and sister in Christ. If we get excited about seeing lives transformed through the gospel message, then God is just as excited with us. But if we're not seeing it, we're not sharing the message. Living a life worthy of the gospel of Christ means taking risks. It means stepping into the places God's calling us to step into. It means that we've got to get uncomfortable. It means that we've got to take some risks. It means that we have work to do. Work to do on ourselves. Because when I ask that question, what does it look like, a life worthy of it, of the gospel? What was your first thought? Was it that you do your devotions every morning? That you say grace at the table? That you tithe as you are called to tithe? Did you start to think in terms of your own personal... I see some heads nodding like, yeah, that's what I thought. I've thought about my personal relationship with Christ. Because that is part of it. But the second part is the what we call the horizontal part. The vertical part of the cross is our relationship with Christ, and the horizontal part of the cross is our relationship with the world. As Paul was speaking, his death was imminent. As Paul was speaking, the people in Philippi were suffering because they were Christians. As we are reading this morning, people around the world are suffering because they proclaim the message of Christ in places where it is dangerous to do so. We have some places here where Christ's name is not even proclaimed, and it is not dangerous to do so. Where are we living a life worthy of the gospel? Yes, it begins on the inside. The transformation has to happen within. We have to be just as excited about spreading that news as if we were just born again for the very first time. I know I've told this story before, but you're going to hear it again. My first appointment, which I get to go to in a few weeks and do homecoming. We were sitting at a board meeting, and one of the gentlemen there, he was older than me, was all excited about Christ, and he wanted the church to go here, he wanted the church to do this, and he wanted this to happen, and we should all go on a walk to Emmaus, and he was just bubbling over. He left the room, and two of the matriarchs of the church, who had been members of the church since they were children, and their parents had been children, they said, "Don't worry, he's just a new Christian, he'll work into it." So maybe we all need to be new Christians and hope we don't work into the routine of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because routines can be healthy, but they can be detrimental. Because we get into the mode of doing it over and over again and forget why we do it. Forget why we are called. Forget why we are called church. Forget why we are the body of Christ, to be living as the body, the gospel message of salvation. Because if we don't proclaim it, we don't share it, we don't do it outside these doors, then the threat will come in and we will be no more. I was going to give you a message of joy this morning. Well, maybe the joy and the hope is I know that here in this body is every desire to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us wants to live a life worthy, live a life in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Maybe we've just gotten a little tired. Maybe we've just gotten a little weather-worn. Maybe we've even gotten a little gun-shy because we've been hurt when we've gone out. But Christ calls us to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and go back out into the world and proclaim that message. So that when we gather, as we did last night, and share fellowship and food, that sound of joy and mingling of different communities and different people that we haven't seen for a long time, or even looking out in the pews this morning, people that have not been here in a while, or maybe here the first time, know that Christ is here, that the Holy Spirit is here, because we are living in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to be singing about that old rugged cross, that beautiful cross on Calvary where he died. Because he died so that each and every one of us might have life and have it abundant. So that we might all have grace, even when the world thinks what we need to have is justice. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.